3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. We've got a big podcast, the final one of the week, before we head to a beautiful, glorious Seattle weekend. Things not as glorious on the field last night for the Mariners. We'll talk about that coming up. And but the pitching has been outstanding for the M's, and so Bill Krueger is going to be by, and he's one of the best talking pitching. So we'll talk about some of the starters for the Mariners. Renes Elias was tremendous last night. And again, we'll talk about the game here in a couple of minutes. So Bill Krueger will be by. We'll meet one of the new Mariners, Mike Montgomery, who made his first start in a Mariners uniform, his first major league start. So we'll meet the Mariners pitcher for the first time. He'll get a start on Sunday as we take a look at the rest of the Tampa Bay series coming up in the podcast as well. And we're also going to meet Mark Trumbo, and that was the news before the ball game yesterday. Mark Trumbo makes his way to Seattle, arrived at the ballpark about 2:30, and was in the lineup in his first ball game in a Seattle Mariners uniform. So Shannon Dreher sat down with the Mariners' new slugging outfielder slash DH slash first baseman, and that's where he was in the lineup yesterday. He was actually originally scheduled to be the DH yesterday, but Logan Morrison scratched with back spasms, so he plays first base in his first game in a Mariners uniform. And again, we'll get to him in a couple of minutes, but let's get right to his first at-bat in a Mariners uniform, first pitch in a Mariners uniform, and he didn't waste any time getting aboard in the second inning.
The windup and the pitch, swinging a ground ball to the hole, it's short and through! Diving to his left, Longoria, diving to his right, Cabrera, and Trumbo threads the needle on the left side of the infield. A leadoff single for Mark Trumbo at his Mariner debut. Yes, indeed, big fella, welcome to Seattle.
So there was a base hit in his very first at-bat. Trumbo would pick up a couple hits in the ball game. He goes 2-for-4, a couple of singles, also fanned a couple of times in his Mariners debut. And Mariners didn't have any problems with hits, 10 of them in the ballgame, but plenty of opportunities left by the wayside for the Mariners, and that was the theme of the ballgame for the M's. Tampa Bay took a 2-0 lead in the fourth inning as they get to Renes Elias for the first time, but the Mariners would take one back.
2-0 pitch on the way. Swing and a line drive base hit into right center field. Ackley will score. Jackson running second, heading for third. Up with the ball, Matuk. The throw to third is cut off by Cabrera, and the Mariners get on the board. Robinson Cano with an RBI single, and it's now the Rays 2 and the Mariners 1.
But that would be the only run for the M's. Runners in scoring position, it's been a theme that we've talked about, and the Mariners struggled with runners in scoring position. 1-for-11 in the ballgame as the team leaves 10 aboard in the game. Also a pickoff. Robinson Cano gets picked off at first base in what was a golden opportunity during the ballgame with Cruz up, runners on the corners, one down. Cano gets picked off, and that helped erase what was a scoring opportunity. And the Mariners just one run on the board, and they fall 2-1, despite Renes Elias, who was dazzling.
The pitch swung on, ground ball, two-hopper near the bag at third. Up with the ball is Seager, toss across in time to get Guyer, and that's it for the Rays. And a 1-2-3 top of the eighth inning. Renes Elias has pitched very well tonight.
Eight innings, five hits, two runs, one walk, and six strikeouts. He did it all on 99 pitches. Very impressive. The only time the Rays got to him in the fourth inning, they were able to string together enough hits to get to the lefty. And it's pretty innocent. I mean, a single by Butler to start the inning. Longoria grounded out to second, pushed Butler to second, and then a hit by pitch on just a breaking ball that hit Forsyth in the foot. And then a double steal, which ended up to be key, a base hit up the middle, one scored, and then a fielder's choice to shortstop, two runs in, and that was it. and the Tampa puts two on the board, and the Mariners fall 2-1 to Tampa Bay. The Mariners now 24-30 on the season and looking to turn things around, especially offensively. And that's what the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, talked about after the game.
You know, obviously we got them out there. We couldn't get them in. I don't wonder, I believe. And I say this truly. I believe that we're going to bust out and we're going to score a lot of runs. Tonight is one of those nights where, you know, it leaves you scratching your head. You know, my guys are certainly capable of doing it, and we'll get it done.
When you believe that, how frustrating has it been to then watch kind of the results that your offense has had lately?
Well, it's all, you know, we've pitched extremely well. And it's frustrating to not take advantage of that. But, you know, having said that, you know, you got to stay the course. And you got to continue to grind it out, you know. Listen, this happens to every team in baseball. It just happens to be happening to us right now. So we'll come out of it.
Hey, what happened with Morrison before the game?
He had some back spasms.
Anything long-term?
You know, day-to-day.
So day-to-day with Morrison and the skipper there talking about how frustrating it is. And, oh, it's not going to be easy. You look at the rest of the three-game series, and Tampa Bay can really pitch, and busting out against a team like this will not be easy. Of course, last night going against Erasmo Ramirez, former Mariner, which just salt in the wound, facing a former M. And Ramirez, it wasn't a long outing for him, but he ends up pitching into the sixth inning, 5 1/3, and gives up just one run, and then they handed it over to the bullpen. Jay Happ going to go tonight, 7-10 first pitch from Safeco Field, and the Mariners face a good one. Jake Odorizzi, 4-5 with a 2.61 ERA, one of the ERA leaders in the American League, and he's been outstanding this year, so a tough task against the righty for the M's. Then Felix Hernandez will go on Saturday, Kings Court in session, facing Tampa Bay once again, and you look at his last four starts against Tampa Bay, included in those four starts, of course, last time out, the complete game shutout. He's also set his career high in strikeouts with 15 in one of those games, and he's thrown a perfect game. So Tampa can't be too excited to be facing Felix Hernandez on Saturday. And then Sunday, Mike Montgomery, who we'll meet in just a couple of minutes here, will take his second turn, and this time he'll go against his former franchise in Tampa Bay. But the Mariners will face Chris Archer, 6-4 with a 2.01 ERA, coming off of a spectacular game the last time out for him. So in two of the three games, they'll facing Odorizzi and Archer, two of the best the American League has to offer. So talking about busting out, again, it will not be easy in two out of the next three against Tampa Bay. 7-10 first pitch tonight, 7-10 on Saturday, 1-10 on Sunday. Should be a fun series. Hopefully we'll see it out at Safeco Field, and the weather again should be absolutely spectacular, and what should be a great weekend. Mariners fall in game one of the series. They look to get even tonight. Hope to see you there. So the big news coming into the ball game, of course, the trade. Mark Trumbo, part of the fold down, makes his Mariners debut. And here's what the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, had to say before the ball game about Mark Trumbo now with the M's.
Obviously, it's an exciting day for us. You know, we get a big-time power hitter to go with Cruz and Seager in the middle of that lineup. It's going to give us much added punch. And obviously, our lineup becomes much deeper and more balanced. So we're excited about that. And we also get a guy that's able to be our long man in the bullpen. We got three lefties, which is something I've always kind of coveted. And he also has the ability to start if we have any problems. So we just became much more deeper with our depth as far as starting pitching is concerned.
Trumbo was something special for 3 years with the Angels, average about 32 home runs a year for three seasons, 94 runs batted in. Where do you see him getting a lot of at-bats? He can DH, play the outfield, play first base.
Well, he'll do all three. I think it gives us the ability to rest Cruz, to rest Morrison, get them in the DH spot, rotate them, and keep all three of those guys fresh.
What about the timing of this deal? You and Jack obviously have been talking about this for a while to get things going, to fix the offense. You didn't have to wait till the trade deadline, which is a few months away, but you did it now.
Yeah, and I think that's really big. I mean, things have become very, very difficult at the trading deadline, and to be able to pull a deal of this magnitude off at this particular junction of the season, in my mind, it's just unbelievable. And I think Jack did just a tremendous job of getting it done. And, you know, hopefully this will jumpstart our offense a little bit for us.
You got Mark Trumbo in the lineup tonight. They just arrived about 2:30 this afternoon. So you don't wait, don't hesitate. What do you tell these guys to get them acclimated as soon as you possibly can in a new situation, new surrounding?
Well, I think the best thing you do is put them in. You know, put them in the lineup and guys get comfortable and they get to get out there and get in the action with their teammates and, you know, you bond real quick. So, and I think that's the case for both of them. We want to get them in the action as quickly as we possibly can.
And what about Nuno down there in the bullpen?
Well, you know, he threw 90 pitches a few days ago, so I'm going to talk to him, make sure he's fresh, see where his arm is and how he's feeling, and that'll dictate when we get him in there.
Also, some other big news surrounding you, Skip. You're going to be an All-Star coach this year, along with A.J. Hinch. Ned Yost has named you to go to the All-Star game. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, that's a great honor, and I told Ned I really appreciate the fact that he thought enough of me to have me as one of his coaches, and it'd be nice to go back to where it all started from for me, which is Cincinnati.
And now for what has been a whirlwind for Mark Trumbo, a chance for Shannon Dreher to talk to the big slugger before the ball game. Here's what they had to say.
Can you just kind of put through words what the last, it's not even 24 hours at this point, so impressive that you are here today in the Mariners uniform. How did you get the news and what has happened since?
Well, after the game yesterday with the Diamondbacks, I remember eating and was called to the office, and usually, you know, only means a couple of things. And with kind of how things were looking over there, we had a lot of players and there was a guy returning off the disabled list and they were going to need to make room. You know, it was fairly easy to understand probably what was going to happen, but I didn't know where I was going. So I think that was, you know, the longest couple minutes just waiting to hear who in fact, you know, I was headed to. And when I heard it was here, I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, you said to the media group, this is one of your favorite places to come. Tell us a little bit about what you like in Seattle.
It just appeals to me in a number of areas. I think just the aesthetics of it and the Pacific Northwest is, I love coming here. I love going to Vancouver. It's something that I've always found attractive. And, you know, I have some friends and stuff that do live up here. And, you know, playing wise, this has been a highlight of, you know, the stops throughout the country. And now to be here full time. I couldn't ask for anything more.
And this is a park you've been comfortable hitting in. You mentioned you see the ball well here. Nelly Cruz has said the same thing. Why does this park work for you?
You know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I think they get a great batter's eye. And sometimes, you know, parks just kind of suit your eye. Without getting too technical, I think that you just kind of, you get a feeling if you like it or you don't. And if you do, you know, it's great. And if you don't, you got to try and find a way to adapt. But, you know, with any luck here, it'll be a smooth transition.
Very good. Who do you talk to when you come in here? You've got a couple of hours to get ready for this game. Who's important to you to just kind of touch base with, other than your manager, of course?
Sure. Yeah, we already said hellos. Try and just at least shake everyone's hand and introduce yourself, I think. You know, it goes a long way with, I guess, being kind of a good teammate. And you're not going to get to form those relationships right away, but at least, you know, you kind of present the picture of being outgoing and approachable, and I think it helps you adapt and kind of interact a lot easier.
Has Lloyd had an opportunity to talk to you about where you're going to play yet? You have plenty of options with you.
We haven't really spoke about that. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Jack briefly about that, I think. You know, there's a few different spots I might fit in at. You know, ultimately, you know, it's my job to, you know, hit, basically. And then be adaptable on defense. So whether it's any of the outfield spots or first or, you know, DH tonight, I'm happy to do it.
You weren't alone on the plane today. Tell us a little bit about your old new teammate in Nuno.
He came over to the Diamondbacks. I've watched him for a while. And then being teammates with him, he's everything you could ask for in a starting pitcher. Maybe not a household name, but somebody that works extremely quick, throws strikes, always keeps you in the ballgame, eats innings, and I think the fans here in Seattle are going to, you know, they're in for a pleasant surprise.
Lastly, I think I saw on Twitter a picture of you. Possibly there was a guitar involved and a Pearl Jam star.
Oh, yeah, possibly. Yeah. I was introduced to Mike McCready through mutual friends, and you know, it's been over to the house, and I've been to their warehouse, been to a few shows, and you know, I look forward to hopefully spending a lot more time with him and some of the other guys in this area. So yeah, that is true.
With any luck, we'll hear an anthem sometime this summer.
Oh boy, from him, yes.
Not from you.
No, from him, okay, most definitely.
Good. Make that absolutely clear. Welcome to Seattle. Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Picked up two hits in his Mariners debut, and the pitching last night, outstanding once again in the rotation, despite Paxton being out, despite Iwakuma being out, has really been excellent as of late. And no better guy to talk to about the rotation than Bill Krueger. Here it is.
Well, one of my favorite guys to talk baseball with, and especially pitching, Bill Krueger here. Thanks a lot for the time, Bill. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot of fun, Gary. Thanks.
Let's talk pitching here. We've seen Taijuan Walker now a couple starts in a row. Eight innings was just fantastic against Cleveland. Only gave up a couple hits. Last time against the Yankees, three runs. What has been the difference the last couple of starts for Taijuan Walker?
His delivery, you know, is really consistent. His release point is very consistent. He's had the good fastball. He really starting to understand what to do, that he needs to get ahead with his fastball, and he's done it very well. High percentage of first pitch strikes. I think he was 23 of 29 yesterday, and he was 16 of 24 against Cleveland. A lot of left-hand hitters, so big challenges with both of these lineups, and he just was brilliant getting ahead with the fastball and then understanding that once he gets ahead, that that fastball can climb up the ladder and really make life difficult for these guys, because they all know he's got a pretty good changeup. So I think between those two pitches and getting ahead in the count, he's just done brilliantly this last two times out.
Speaking of brilliant, Reynis Elias, the lefty, has come up and, in my mind, really stabilized this rotation. What have you seen from Elias?
I just think he's a great competitor. He's pitched a lot in his life. He really understands how to pitch. He's still kind of caught between being a showman and being a pitcher, but he loves the mound. He loves the competition. He knows how to bear down with guys on base. He has a great feel for pitching. I mean, he's a real artist out there. He's got a tremendous curveball, and now a really tremendous changeup to go with a lively fastball. We have guys that throw hard, and then we have guys that have life. The ball seems to have great life when it comes out of his hand. He's fun to watch. I think he's still a guy that can get better. I'm a big believer in Reynis Elias. I think he likes the baseball. He's not afraid of any situation, and he knows how to pitch out of jams. So I think we're starting to see what he's capable of doing. I mean, honestly, he had a bad spring, and it's a shame, because if you look at what he did last year, he was the third best rookie left-hander, a rookie pitcher in the American League behind Keuchel and Ventura, and yet he could not make the team because Walker was so outstanding. So I think justice is due. He's come up and really patched the hole with Iwakuma on the DL, and I expect this to continue. I really think he's talented.
You mentioned that feel for pitching. Is that something that can be learned by a pitcher? Is that something that's almost innate?
Well, I think you need to play a lot of baseball to really understand, you know, how you get hitters off balance and what makes you good, and then how do you wiggle out of situations when you get in them. I mean, I still think there's things that he needs to learn. Sometimes he's more interested in trying to make the hitter look bad than understanding that sometimes a fastball away and an easy at bat sometimes is better. Mm-hmm. Because you're trapped in pitch counts here. That's the way we play here. And so the earlier you can get contact, the more chances you have to stay in the game, the less you have to show the other team. So there's still things for him to work on. In fact, between he and I, we have these conversations between English and Spanish. They're falling somewhere in between where we chat about his last performance. And it's been a lot of fun to get to know the young man. I really like him.
Well, the Mariners had another lefty come up and pitch pretty well in his spot start, Mike Montgomery. What did you see from him in his first start?
Well, I think the big thing with him is that he didn't back off from the situation. He came out guns a-blazing. He went out and threw his fastball, went right at him, attacked with the fastball the first two or three innings because he was a little high, but it didn't matter. I mean, he showed the Yankees that he wasn't going to be scared of the strike zone or intimidated by their bubblegum cards or their fame. He went right at him, and I thought he pitched great. And then as the game wore on, we saw his changeup play a little bit. And then as the game got a little bit further along, his curveball got into the game, and it was good. So he threw three pitches, three quality big league pitches. He threw a lot of strikes. He didn't get intimidated by the Yankee lineup. What a great opening performance, even though he didn't get the win. And, you know, there's things to work on, but you're young. You know, you at this point, play off of your strengths because the league doesn't know you, and see how far it takes you.
That was a position you were in a few times in your career, coming up, making that start in the middle of the season. How difficult is that to make that spot start like that?
Well, I think it's just the overwhelming prospect of getting to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. The time you're waiting, mm-hmm. you know, once you know that you're going to start is the hardest. And then once you're able to cross the white line, get the baseball in your hand, and you've never experienced it, but everything shuts off and it becomes the baseball game, not the noise and the big stadium and all the publicity and all of that goes away, and it just becomes the battle between you and the hitter, or the tunnel with you and the catcher, and I think that's where you get to, and then it's a matter of trying to deal with the competition. Once the competition gets to know you a little bit, that's when it gets harder. And you're going to have ups and downs in how good your stuff's going to be and how are you going to manage those situations. But, I mean, a fantastic moment in your life when you go out and pitch that first Major League game. I can remember it to this day, beating the California Angels April 11th, 1983. And I had been called up right at the end of spring training, and I know what Mike Montgomery felt like that day.
What do you remember about taking the mound for the very first time that night?
Well, I felt like it was just obvious when I was down the bullpen in Oakland throwing that people could literally see my knees knocking together because I'd only been pitching for a couple years. Mm-hmm. I was not a pitcher in college. I was a basketball player, and I got it together in AA, and then the next year here I was in the big leagues, right? So I really didn't have a lot of experience, and to face Reggie Jackson, Rod Carew, and Freddie Lynn and the gang down in California, it was a daunting moment, but once I crossed the line, everything got past the first pitch, then it became baseball, but it was a very interesting day. We got ahead big, we beat up Bruce Keeson, I got a big lead, and all I had to do was throw strikes, and I had a funny moment. The last inning I was pitching, I hit Reggie Jackson with an 0-2 fastball with a 7-run lead, and he got down to first base, and he was screaming on me, and I couldn't even repeat what he said in that inning, but I was just praying for the inning to end. So it all worked out. I got my first major league win, and it was quite a day.
That's outstanding. Who was the toughest hitter that you faced?
Well, they're not household names. Well, the whole Minnesota Twins lineup, they just wore me out. In fact, the joke was when I joined the Twins that I was so smart because I finally joined the team that I couldn't get out, so I should be pretty good against the rest of the league. That was the Kirby Puckett told me that joke when I joined the team. But Brian Downing, who was an Angel, he wore me out pretty good. Roberto Kelly, who was a great player with the Yankees, he wore me out. But these aren't household names. This isn't flashy. Like, I can tell you some big name. You know, I guess I must have done pretty well against some of the bigger names in the league because they don't stand out in my mind. But there are guys that own you pretty good, and you hope that you don't have to face those guys when the big situation comes up.
So as a lefty, how would you face Nelson Cruz right now?
Wow, you know, he's really tough because with two strikes, he'll go the other way. Mm-hmm. He's shown great plate coverage, and he shows you that he can hit the off-speed pitch. I think with him, I think you have to stay away from him, really. I think that you can chase him up the ladder if you can get ahead. And then you're going to have to do some odd things and odd counts. I mean, you're going to have to choose an off-speed pitch and a fastball count sometimes, and you're going to have to keep him honest. So he's like any hitter. You have to use both sides of the plate. Some guys, you pitch them in to get them out there, and some guys you pitch away, but you must make them honest in. Hmm. I think Nelson Cruz is a balanced hitter, and when he's going good, it's going to be tough because he can hit all the pitches and he can hit them to all parts of the park with power. That's the frightening guy, right? Yeah. And he had that thing going where he was like, I think of Manny Ramirez when he was going well. There were very few places you could go with him in the strike zone. In fact, you didn't want to be in the strike zone with him, and he just had power everywhere, and he could hit for an high average. Miguel Cabrera, mm-hmm. very along the same lines. Well, when Nelson Cruz was rolling here these first couple months, he was like those two guys, and that is one tough cookie.
No doubt about that. Well, I could keep going and going and going, but I always appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, Bill.
My pleasure, Gary. Thanks.
And we mentioned Montgomery there in his first start. He was outstanding, so let's hand it back to Shannon Dreher as we meet one of the newest Mariners.
First of all, welcome to Seattle. Great to see you up with the big club.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. It's good to be here.
What were the last 48 hours for you like? You get the word that you're going to make your big league debut. Who told you and how did that happen?
They, Pat and
Listash in AAA and pitching coach Jamie and TC, the pitching coordinator, they told me that, you know, I'm going to be starting Tuesday, and it was exciting. I mean, I had to call friends and family, and, you know, it's one of those things that as a kid you always hope that, you know, that's going to happen one day, and, you know, it was really just, you know, kind of a dream come true, and it's one of those things that trying to get the family out and kind of let them, but at the end of the day I got to understand that it's the same game. I got to go out there and I got to perform the same way I always have.
When was the first time you stepped out on the field? Did you get out before your start, or what was it like to first come up those stairs and see this?
Going out there, warming up, you know, it was, I've pitched a lot of games, and you just get nerves, and you get these butterflies that you don't normally get, and it's hard to control that, and I think I went to go throw a ball, and it slipped out of my hand, and I kind of was like, oh, okay, you know.
You meant to do that.
That doesn't normally happen, so, yeah, I meant to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, exciting, and it's hard to describe it, you know. It's a good feeling.
What's clicked for you in the last, I don't know, year, a few months? You obviously put up some nice numbers in Tacoma, caught their eye. We saw it last night. We saw a great breaking ball. We saw a good fastball. What's been working for you?
I think just understanding that, trusting my stuff and going out there and pounding the strike zone and say, you know, this is what I do. This is, you know, how I'm going to pitch. And I think just understanding that and mentally just being aggressive and never letting up, I think it's been the biggest difference for me so far.
Got to ask, that was a unique situation you were in the middle of. All of a sudden, your catcher's heading back to the dugout. Then he's heading to first base, and both your catcher and your manager are tossed. How did you see that unfold in front of you, and what was going through your mind when that was all going? You see your manager kick a hat right there, go after every umpire. What is going through your mind?
I honestly couldn't even tell you. You know, it was one of those situations where it was a close play, and, you know, I really was trying my best just to say, okay, get the next batter. And, you know, when they went to back me up and back the team up and everything, I was really just kind of watching. I was like, wow, this is a unique situation. And you know, and I think it was good. I think it fired us up. It kind of got me fired up a little bit. And I gave up the run, but, you know, I got out of it. I think I settled in a lot after that point. Going to the next inning, I really felt, okay, this is baseball. This is the same game. And I think that point on is when I kind of mentally got, you know, back to where I needed to be.
Lastly, you stayed in the dugout when you came out of the game. What was it like to sit in on this bench, and this is your new team, kind of look out at the field and watch the game?
It's a good feeling. I mean, it really, you know, it's the big leagues, and you know, I know growing up and you know, the last few years since I've signed, you know, you understand there's a lot of hard work to get here, and it's a good feeling, and you want to go out here and you want to perform and you want to do good for the team and the city and everything. So you really just got to keep that on your mind, but you got to enjoy it at the same time.
We all enjoyed the debut last night. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
See you later!